It is a growing trend in America to devalue doctrine today. Some think that the Scripture is irrelevant and unimportant when it comes to the teaching of basic Bible truths of the Bible. I have heard repeatedly statements like, doctrine is not important to Christianity. Nothing is important but having a relationship with Christ. This can be made to sound good, especially if it's presented with passion, but it is a false statement. Doctrine is important. Did you know the phraseology, a relationship with Jesus Christ, is not found in the Bible? But repentance is. And today, I've listened to preachers that talk about a relationship with Christ, that don't talk about sin, that don't talk about the need for repentance from sin. Just pray and start a relationship with Jesus. My friend, I'm sorry, that's not how it works because of the doctrines taught in the Scriptures. Sin has to be dealt with for you to be saved. Your sin has to be dealt with before a holy God, where you change your mind about sin and your need for a Savior becomes ever present in your mind and you take Christ as the answer for your sin. Doctrinal terms are important. The teaching of devaluing doctrine has influenced the church through the emerging church movement today and the seeker-sensitive movement and various books and devotionals that have a pretense of sounding inspirational but are desperately lacking in truth. This morning I'm preaching on this thought, the value of sound doctrine. The value of sound doctrine. I've had people ask me this kind of a question. Does it matter what one believes just so long as he or she is sincere? And may I be honest with you and truthful from the Scriptures this morning, it doesn't matter how sincere a person is if they believe wrong. Belief is what matters. What you believe is what matters. Does doctrine really matter as long as you are sincere? Most people are answering in the negative, saying that doctrine does not matter. Nevertheless, when we consider what the Bible teaches, we realize that doctrine really matters. Why? The reasons are quite simple. What we believe in this life will determine where we spend eternity. The doctrine or the truths that you believe will dictate as to whether you spend an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell, in the burning fires of hell. It matters what you believe. It affects your eternal soul, what you believe. What we believe determines how we live, determines whether or not we please God. What we believe. Doctrine, as we consider the pages of the New Testament, we realize that there is such a thing as sound doctrine, as we read about in 1 Timothy or in Titus chapter 1, and we recognize that there is false doctrine. I want you to understand that since the pages of Scripture were written, okay, we go to the New Testament, we're talking about the first 100 years after Christ. Since the New Testament was written, at the point of the writing of the New Testament, sound doctrine was already under attack. It always has been under attack. I want you to see it in these verses in Titus chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible, or verse number 10. The Bible says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Of course, we're talking about Judaism here and having to be circumcised to be saved. And they're already dealing with that. We're already dealing with that. In first century, they're dealing with an attack on sound doctrine. In fact, it goes on, whose mouths in verse number 11 must be stopped, whose subvert or flip-flop whole houses, families, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And Paul writes Titus and says, this witness is true. This is out there. Verse number 14, he warns against Jewish fables. He warns against commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, preacher, how does it affect me if I don't believe in sound doctrine, if I believe in a false doctrine? Look at verse 16. This is how it affects people. They profess that they know God, so they can talk about knowing God with their lips, But in works, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. My friend, if you get down the wrong road in what you believe, it's going to affect your everyday life. It's going to affect your living. In fact, it's going to lead you in a direction that's going to be abominable before God. You say, preacher, what does that word mean? It means you do things that God hates with all that is within Him. He hates. These people are abominable. You say, how'd they get there? They believed wrong. That's why in verse number 9 it says, holding forth the faithful word as He hath been taught, that He may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Gainsayers meaning people that are out there to debate you. Meaning people that are out there to discard the truth. To give you something else to think about beside God's Word and the faith that you've been taught. My friend, it's been under attack since the first century. And may I say, it's under attack today. Sound doctrine we're talking about. Things, he says in verse number 1 of chapter 2, after naming all these things, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. In Matthew chapter 15, I want you to turn over there. One of the things that's attacked, sound doctrine, over many hundreds of years. is teaching four doctrines, the commandments of men. Verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 15, the Bible says, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, why is their heart far from God? Verse number 9. But in vain do they worship me. Why? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. One of the things that causes people to turn from sound doctrine, one of the things that keeps people from believing sound doctrine is the commandments of men that are taught, the Bible says, as doctrine. Taught as teaching, as something that you should believe. But it's a commandment of men. Did you know that 49 times the importance of doctrine is stressed in our Bible? And this is only the times the word doctrine is used, or doctrines, not the word teaching or words that would go in be in agreement with the word doctrine. Let me get it down to base level this morning so everybody can understand that the word doctrine simply means the teaching of God or the teachings of God in the Scriptures. The teachings of God in the Scriptures. The word sound in the Bible means that which has not been corrupted. It means that which is healthy. And so when Paul is instructing Titus here to speak things which are sound doctrine, he's telling him to teach things that have not been corrupted, that are pure, and that are healthy for the soul. That is sound doctrine. And my friend, the value of sound doctrine is great. Sound doctrine, then, is that teaching which has not been perverted by the doctrines of men. Can I give you some doctrines of men today that when you compare them to the teachings of God in the Scripture, you'll not find them? That's how I know they're from men. Because if they're from God, where am I going to find them? In the Bible. God wrote us what to believe, right here in the Bible. So we take what's being taught out there and we compare it to what God taught us in the Scripture. One of the teachings that's the doctrines of men is salvation by works. I don't know who's sitting in our congregation today, but there's a lot of churches and cults that are teaching this commandment of men. And by the way, it is not a doctrine of God. You getting to heaven by something that you do or enough good works that you do is not in the Word of God. In fact, the very opposite is true. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, here's the doctrine of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Watch this phrase, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's sound doctrine. Salvation's a gift, not a work. You can't earn it. If you could earn it, you would boast about it. Bible knows that. God knows that. God wrote it and said, salvation's a gift, that comes because of God's grace shown towards you, which is His favor towards you, but it comes when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Not when you work and add up all your works and hope and bite your fingernails that your good works are going to outweigh your bad works. My friend, that's a doctrine of men. That's a commandment of men. It is not a doctrine of God. The value of sound doctrine is this. I can be saved in a biblical way and know that I'm going to heaven forever. My, Levi's going to give his testimony today. Levi walked an aisle. Now, walking an aisle didn't do anything to save him. You coming forward in the church service doesn't save anybody. But Levi was instructed by Brother Peters how to be saved. He was instructed that he was a sinner, that his sin separated him from God, and that he needed a Savior. And Jesus came, the sinless Son of God, to die on a cross and shed His blood and rise again the third day to completely pay for Levi's sin. And Levi called on the name of the Lord that day and asked Christ to save him. My friend, that's biblical salvation. But if you don't have it, then the destination is different after death. I want to enlighten you this morning. I want to remind you there are going to be a lot of people in hell who believe the commandment of men, who believe that they would get to heaven by works. And you don't get to heaven by works. And if you're here this morning and you're believing that, you know, I'm trying to live my life the best. If I ask you, how do you know you're going to heaven? You say, I try to live my life the best I can, and I hope that God looks at all of that, and I hope that God says, come into my kingdom. My friend, you're not believing right. You're believing a commandment of men. I've sat down with many people in the last year, and I've had to tell them, they've given me that line, so to speak, that thinking, and I've tried to be honest, loving, but firm with them. That's not salvation. Salvation is putting your complete faith in Jesus Christ as the complete payment for your sin, changing your mind and saying, I need Christ. I don't need my works. I need Christ. That's sound doctrine. That's healthy for the soul. There's another churches and denominations today that promote women pastors and gay pastors. My friend, you'll not find that in the Bible. We're going to look at the Bible. These are the doctrines of God. And we've got to understand that there's a whole bunch of things that have been dreamt up by men. There's a whole bunch of things that have been accepted by men that are not acceptable to God. We believe in the doctrines of God. We believe in sound doctrine. Some churches teach that baptism is necessary to be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. The doctrine of God doesn't teach that. We don't believe that. We don't believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Today, Brittany and Levi will get baptized, but they've been taught, we've been instructed, hey, this has nothing to do with your salvation. This has everything to do with your obedience to God after you are saved and identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and your vocal commitment, your public commitment to live a new life in Christ. That's what baptism's about. Has zero to do with salvation. But these are out there. Churches and denominations teach you can lose your salvation today. But when we compare it to John chapter 10, where he says, neither can any man pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, we understand we're secure in Christ forever. We believe in eternal life. That's doctrine. Cults and Judaism teach that Jesus is not God. Problem? I got a big problem with that. Because the doctrine of God does teach it. The doctrine of God's in the Scripture. You can find it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus Christ, was God. I take that teaching and I realize that's coming from man. That's not coming from God. Colson teach in praying for the dead. Nowhere do we find that in Scripture, to pray for the dead. Churches and denominations teach that the sign gifts are today are in use today, speaking in tongues and people healing other people, and we understand that that's not what the Bible says. That's not the doctrine of God. Brother, do you understand? Are you seeing all the different attacks from every different direction on sound doctrine? Churches deny that there's one God and three persons. We know it as the doctrine of the Trinity. We believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7, these three bear witness and are one. speaking of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the doctrine of God. Anybody that rejects that's wrong. Because God's always right. His doctrines are always right. Churches and denominations teach and practice ecumenism and working together with groups that don't believe in sound doctrine, don't even believe in salvation, and bringing all those groups together, and that's a one world church in the end times. According to Revelation, it is not the doctrine of God. Churches and denominations teach in the five tenets of Calvinism, which are not in the Scriptures and which are not of God. Cults that teach man-made books have as much authority as the Bible, such as the Pearl of Great Price. And we can go through some of the cults and look at some of the books that they give to their people and say, whatever this says, you ought to follow, even if it disagrees with the Bible. And I say all Scripture, only Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Scripture is God-breathed. All other writings are man-made. You better read them as such. God wrote the Bible. Churches and denominations teach sinless perfection. That after you get saved, you can reach the second work of grace in your life where you don't sin ever in your life anymore. I have a real problem with that when I look at Romans chapter 7 and Paul says, man, the things that I should do, I don't do. And the very things that I shouldn't do, those are the very things that I do. And Paul shows a big struggle between the sin nature and the new nature and that battle. Galatians chapter 5, I have a big problem with that teaching when it comes to the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to another every day. There is no sinless perfection in the Bible. But I want you to know out there, there are attacks on doctrine today all over the place. And I can give you many more. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, till I come, give attendance to, adhere to, hold your mind to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Stick to that. Stay on that path. Hey, give focus to that. Give attention to that, Timothy. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. You know what the pastors of this church, our responsibility is? To labor in word and doctrine. It's important that we teach, that we instill, that we bring people along in the teachings of God, in the Word of God. It's known as doctrine. We need sound doctrine today because of our own sinful nature. When someone teaches that we can sin because Jesus has paid for all sins, chances are they have a sinful habit that they are clinging to or need to justify. I have a problem with that teaching that says, hey, go ahead and sin, man. Live the way you want. Jesus died so you could do that. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. Some of you have already started this week. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, He didn't save us. No, He didn't die so that we could continue to live any old way that we want. That's a doctrine that's pervasive in our American churches today. Pervasive. We're in need of sound doctrine today because of the wickedness of the world. We're in need of sound doctrine because false doctrines abound. I'll give you three short points this morning on the value of sound doctrine. Number one, sound doctrine is valuable because of its purity. Because of its purity. Do you value a glass of pure water? I do. You don't have great value for it because maybe you've not been in a place where they don't have pure water. I was in Mexico years ago on a missions trip. We made a hike to the pyramids at about 100 degrees outside. And I didn't take good water with me. I am sweating. I am dehydrated. I have got to get some water in me. I came down from the mountain and somebody offered me just water. And I drank it. And I'm in the vehicle with Bill Hart, missionary Bill Hart. We got a whole van full of young people with us. And my stomach's starting to churn real bad. And we're driving down the road and Bill's driving. And I said, Bill, pull over. And of course, just to pull over, there's not always a place that you can pull over. And before he could pull over, I had lost everything that was in my stomach. You know why? I drank bad water. I didn't have pure water in me. And by the way, it didn't just happen that time. For the rest of the week, I was in bed, sick, felt like nigh unto death, because I took bad water into my system. Brethren, the reason sound doctrine is valuable is because of its purity. What do you mean by its purity, preacher? Well, sound doctrine is the apostles' doctrine. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Sound doctrine is the apostles' doctrine. That means the guys that followed Christ. That means the guys that saw Christ, witnessed of Christ's resurrection, walked with Christ. In Acts chapter 2, the early church, when it started, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the what doctrine? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And the apostles' doctrine is recorded where? Right here. Right here. By the way, we don't look to creeds for our doctrine. At Mount Zion Baptist Church, you're never going to find this pastor reading a creed to you to start a service. Or you reading a creed with me. Because creeds don't determine doctrine. God's Word determines doctrine. And it's the apostles' doctrine, and it's a pure doctrine. Number two, sound doctrine is that which was once delivered unto the saints. Turn to Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The doctrine of the apostles, sound doctrine, the teachings of the Scripture that are health for the soul, that doctrine was once delivered unto the saints. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. If you hear something new that's not in agreement with the Bible, it's not pure. It was once delivered to the saints. That means there's not new doctrine coming out today that is contrary to the Bible that you ought to live and accept and believe in your life. That's why it's important to know the book. That's why it's important that you read your Bible. As you read your Bible, you're going to learn what to believe, and you're also going to be able to identify, whoa, that wasn't once delivered in the Scriptures. Here the Bible says in verse number 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Look at verse number 4. It's already under attack again. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It was once delivered, and watch this, it has to be wrestled for many times. The word contend means wrestling. He says, I'm writing to you and I'm telling you something. You're going to have to wrestle for sound doctrine, for that which was once delivered unto the saints, for it to be kept pure. Somebody's going to have to wrestle for it. Man, I thank God for my forefathers. I thank God for those in the Baptist faith that down through the centuries wrestled to give us what we have today in the doctrines of the Scripture. We have something precious, my friends. This doctrine is under attack. Doctrine, sound doctrine, is based on the truth of the Bible and is narrow in its scope. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's narrow. It's not broad. Brethren, you can't take an approach to what you believe as, well, I just, you know, whatever comes my way. Well, I'm raising kids and I just want them to believe whatever they feel like believing. No, no, no! Sound doctrine is narrow. We must instruct people in it. We must lead people to understand it's a narrow belief system. It's not just wide open to everything. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 2. Paul writes unto Timothy, he says, Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, and I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia that thou might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Charge them, Timothy. Timothy, Make it plain and clear. Let them know we can't just teach anything. By the way, you ought to know that the main thrust of false doctrine today is loose living. You study it in the Scriptures. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. My friend, that's loose living. The doctrines that are out there today, they want to let all kinds of convictions down. They want to let anything go. They want to challenge you on standards that you've been taught to live in your life. They want to broaden the way. When Jesus said, my way, I'm sorry, the doctrine that I teach is narrow. It's narrow. I want you to understand, there's a lot of false doctrine out there today. And I want you to understand, it's aimed to pull you away from a narrow life. From a holy life. From holy convictions. That's the false doctrine that's out there today. You have to understand, it's narrow in its scope. Teach no other doctrine. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. I want you to understand something else about the churches today and the preachers that are coming out of our seminaries today. I want you to understand something, that they are being influenced not to rebuke and not to reprove. They want to teach a positive message. They want everybody to like them. They only want to talk about the positives of the Bible. But I want you to understand that when he wrote to Timothy, he said, preach the word. And he said, part of that is instruction, but part of that is reproof and rebuke. And it means cutting the line of Scripture straight, even when it hurts somebody. And by the way, our intention is not to hurt anybody. Truth always helps people. When received by faith and acted on, it is health for the soul. But you need to understand, sound doctrine is narrow in its scope. Sound doctrine helps a believer to know what to avoid. The purity of it is so important. Turn to Romans chapter 16, if you will. Romans chapter 16. Bible says in verse number 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Oh, when there's something that's contrary to the doctrines that we hold, we're taught to mark and avoid. Dear Christian, for you to be pure in doctrine, you would have to do some marking and avoiding. There's some people I won't read after. You know why? It's because of what they believe. There's some people that I won't listen to. There's preachers I will not listen to. You know why? It's because of what they believe. There's some musicians and artists I won't listen to. You know why? It's because of what they believe. There's some colleges that I'm not interested in. You know why? It's because of what they believe. It's belief. It's belief. It's doctrine. And Romans says, you want to stay on what you've learned, you better mark and avoid some stuff. You better move some stuff out. Sound doctrine is valuable because of its purity. Secondly, it's valuable because of its power. Because of its power. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It has power to nourish. Whew. You know, there are entertainment-driven churches today, and entertainment-driven churches are about experience and feeling. Okay? They want to make you feel good. They want to give you an experience, but no sound doctrine. Now, I want you to see in the Scriptures what sound doctrine gives you that entertainment will not give you, and good feelings will not give you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. If you go back to verse number 1, you'll see that he's speaking about those departing from the faith, departing from sound doctrine, going into doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared. And then he says, but if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Nourished up, educated in, established in. My friend, that's why sound doctrine's important to you. Because there's a lot of junk that's being thrown at you in this world as to how to live and what to believe and what your values should be and approving of sin. But sound doctrine doesn't allow for that. It educates. It instructs. It gives us, it has the power to nourish you and me. Secondly, it has the power to convince. Brethren, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you by saying this, that what the Bible teaches, you can stand rock solid on. You are not on a one-legged stool that's about ready to fall over. You are not believing something that you can't defend from the Bible. I want you to know I can go as deep in the truths of the Scripture or as shallow in the truths of the Scripture and come to the same conclusion. Because sound doctrine is convincing. I want you to see it. Titus chapter 1, back to our text in verse number 9. Well, preacher, there's hardly nobody that believes this anymore. I don't care if anybody else believes it. If God teaches it, I believe it. And I can defend it. They may not like to hear it. But it doesn't matter. It's sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to what? Convince. By what? By sound doctrine. By Bible principles that are timeless truths. By doctrines that have been held by many good Christian folks for hundreds of years. Brethren, we're not standing on something that's shaky. We have something that's solid that can convince others. Now they may not want to be convinced. And they may turn away from the truth. But you can't argue against the Bible. It wasn't too long ago my daughters were dealing with somebody on eternal security of salvation. That you can forever be eternal. We came home, we talked about it in our home, and they said, Dad, we just kept giving them verses. We just kept going back to the Bible. They said, Dad, they didn't know what to say to that. It's like they were stumped because of those verses. Well, sound doctrine convinces. You can't argue against it. Sound doctrine. Power to convince, but mostly it has the power to transform. It has the power to transform. I want you to turn to Titus chapter 2 and I want you to look at these words. Verse number 1, follow verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now what's that sound doctrine going to do? Look at the word be in verse number 2. Do you see that? That the aged men may be. The aged men be. Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be. To be. Ooh, that's a lifestyle. Verse number 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be. 9, verse 9, exhort servants to be. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn or decorate the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. What is sound doctrine for, preacher? Listen, you get under sound doctrine and teaching from the Word of God, and it will transform you. It'll take the bad out, and it will put good in. It'll take false belief out, and it'll put truth in. It'll take unholy living out, and it'll put holy living in. Because sound doctrine, the power of sound doctrine, is that it transforms people. I want you to see that. Lastly, sound doctrine is valuable because of its protection. Because of its protection. Give me 5 minutes and I'm closed. Number one, it preserves the life of a believer. Dear Christian, I want to really urge you this year to give yourself to sound doctrine. I mean, get where it's at. And I know from this pulpit we're going to be preaching sound doctrine all year long. I'm talking about we're going to give you a project to do that you could really invest some time and sure yourself up in sound doctrine. It has a preserving feature to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. The new theology downplays the value of Scripture. Feelings sway with the wind of circumstances, but the truth of God's Word stands as a solid rock that does not change whether times are good or times are bad. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You take heed to it. You give attention to it. You follow it. You know what it's going to do? It's going to preserve you. Sound doctrine preserves believers. Hal Lindsey shared this illustration. His friend's father was the head of the German Army's Officers Union, which in English is called the Steel Helmet. Hitler, Hess, Goring, Dr. Goebbels, and many other Nazi leaders came to my friend's home to negotiate with his father. Hitler desperately needed the support of the German Officers Army Union to grasp control of the government. My friend remembers many long and heated discussions around the fireplace between his father and the future leaders of the Third Reich. His father actually agreed with Hitler about many of the reforms that he wanted to bring to Germany. But when he began to grasp Hitler's final solution plan for the Jews, he flatly disagreed. He was an evangelical Christian who believed in a literal interpretation of prophecy and believed that God wants and stands with those that bless Israel. And through those debates with Hitler, he finally shut him down and said, "No!" And you know why? Because of his belief about a doctrine of the Bible, a teaching of the Bible that says, "I'll bless those that bless my people, and I'll curse those that curse my people." And that man sat in that living room that night with Hitler and all his comrades and said, "I'm not interested." Why? Because doctrine. Because of what he believed from the Scriptures. And you know what? It saved him. Sound doctrine preserves us. Number two, it produces separation of those who walk after their own lust. Last point of the message. It produces separation of those who walk after their own lust. Brethren, the reason the pulpit has to stay on target at Mount Zion Baptist Church is it needs to put pressure on people that are walking after their own lusts. When a church gets filled with people who are living after lust, we have no light, we have no impact, we are not fulfilling our mission, we are not honoring a holy God. I want you to hear this verse, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." You understand that people living in lust, and the greatest threat to sound doctrine in your life is you walking after your own lust. Because sound doctrine and lust and living of our lust do not go together. In fact, he says those that live after their own lust, they won't be able to endure it. They'll not stick around. In Jude chapter 1, he talks about those who walk after their own ungodly lust. "These be they who separate themselves sensual." The reason Pastor preaches on sin and we preach on the doctrines, my friend, the reason all that's taking place is there's a great warfare right in this building this morning. Every person in this building, you know what you're dealing with? You're dealing with lusts. And so am I. And it's sound doctrine that, whoa, wakes me up on that. Oh, holds me back. Oh, restrains me. Oh, I have a holy God that's looking down over me. His eyes are in every place. It's those kinds of teachings that help us to understand, I can't go that way. I can't continue in that sin. Sound doctrine is a protection. It's valuable because of its purity. It's valuable because of its power. And it's valuable because of its protection. This year, tonight in the evening service, we'll start. If you come tonight in the evening service, you'll get to partake of the Lord's Supper if you're a believer. But in addition to that, we'll be giving you a ring, and on it has a card. There's going to be a card that's given to you in the bulletin every week. 52 different cards, all on sound doctrine. So during the month of January, these four Sundays in January, 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th, you're going to get a doctrinal card on who is Jesus Christ. And each week there's going to be a couple of doctrinal statements about Christ that are pure statements about Christ. And on the back are the verses to support those doctrinal statements. And truth of the matter is, we're going to walk through all the doctrines. Every Sunday night to begin the service, we're going to review the two doctrinal statements that are on the card that you received on Sunday morning. What I would urge you to do is to put these cards on the ring. Take them home, put them on your ring. You'll get a ring tonight. We got enough for children, teenagers, adults, everyone. I want everyone involved. We're going to emphasize sound doctrine. Our church, I want you steeped in sound doctrine.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.